Well, hello, hello. I am so excited to be back. I took a little break and I wasn't meaning to, but life happens. And I am so excited to be back with an amazing guest today. And yes, I think you're in for a treat to just see how sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And when we find out, it makes a world of difference. So I hope you take something good away from this episode and that you realize that our gifts can be found anywhere. And they can be found in the radio or in TV or in journalism. So today, my guest is Craig Clausen. He's a product of Penn State University of Journalism, and he has worked for radio, for TV, and newspaper outlets throughout Pennsylvania and Ohio. And after his 20-year career in information technology, he has returned to his roots and is working with storytellers in production of podcasts. And he has, of course, been nationally recognized and nominated for many, many awards, and also been a keynote speaker and has held workshops and panels to help podcasts festivals throughout the Midwest. So it's such a pleasure to have Craig here with us today. He lives in Ohio with his wife and his two kids, who are 12 and 18. And so we're so excited to have him here today. So Craig, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, did you all along know you have ADHD, or was that something that was a surprise to you when you got diagnosed with it?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you again. I would say that ADHD was not something that I ever knew that I had, especially growing up. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, in the 90s, and it was just not something that was thrown around like it was today. And I started to suspect that I might have some aspects of it when my kids got diagnosed with ADHD. I saw some of their behaviors I mirrored in my day-to-day life. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. I wonder if they're picking that up from me, or is this ADHD? And then when they were diagnosed with ADHD, and especially my youngest has an extremely severe case of ADHD. It was obvious to us that, boy, maybe I should have a conversation about this as well. So I went, and then I had a conversation with my therapist at the time, and she had long suspected that I had been struggling with ADHD. Now, she wasn't somebody who could diagnose that. So we worked through my primary care physician and then eventually a psychiatrist to obtain that diagnosis of ADHD at 49 years old.
Yes, it's so common for people to be diagnosed this way, like after their kid is being worked up, and then they might see, oh, I have some traits here. And like you said, sometimes you're not even having that awareness because it's like, this is the way we are, right? So like, this is the way, I'm sure you could look at your family and see traits of some of your uncles or parents or somebody with similar characteristics. And you just assume, well, this is a family trait, unaware that it could be something else. And then some people, I don't know how your reaction to your diagnosis was, but some people are relieved because they're like, oh, thank God. And some people are like, oh my God, like I could have done so many other things. Which one was your reaction when you finally did get the diagnosis?
Well, I'd say it was a little bit of both. To some extent, a lot of the challenges and canonical moments that happened in my life began to make sense. I was never a very good student. I was actually a very horrible student, but I had been told my entire life how smart I was, right? And I believe myself to be relatively intelligent. So for me to struggle so much with scholarship while also maintaining an intelligence didn't make sense, right? I wasn't putting the effort forward, all of the typical tropes that you have with an ADHD diagnosis. So to some extent, it was relieving that I went through that because then I can look back at myself and say, okay, you weren't being lazy. You weren't being not putting the effort forward. You just didn't know how. You weren't given the tools to do so in the same way that your peers were at the same time. But at the same time, I think it was also a little bit disappointing too, because had I had gotten the tools and techniques earlier in life, maybe some of the challenges and hardships that I faced throughout my life would have been different. So to answer your question, I think the answer is a little bit of A, a little bit of B, a little bit of both, right? I think to some extent I was relieved, but at the same time too, I sort of regret the fact that I missed a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. And that's right. Like, we can have dual emotions, right? But at the same time, it's validating, because like you said, you look back and you're like, I just thought I was lazy. I thought it was a character defect. And people don't understand why you can be so hyper-focused or so creative in one area. And like, you kind of like way kick it out of the park. And then other things, not so much. And I remember the running thing in my mind was, why can't I just adult? Like, why can't I just adult? And it's almost funny, because some things that are a little bit more quote unquote complex to some people, like, they're so simple to you because you have that curiosity and thinking outside the box and just seeing connections that sometimes others don't see. And then that, again, it becomes like, that's why you do what you do and you do it well and where you decide to be at. But at the same time, like, you keep judging yourself because you're like, why can't I blah, 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 fill in the blank, right? And when you then throw in kids into the mix in the middle of you trying to do all your adult roles, it just adds another level to it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
My question to you is, like, when you were trying to do your homework, or when you see your kids now trying to do their homework, and I don't know if they got diagnosed or not, I know that you said they were getting tested, but did you see patterns of, like, and that's the thing too, everybody, it's like a spectrum, right? But did you see some of their challenges, like, that you might've had to?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I look back and I think back about my time in school, both college and high school, and I just couldn't focus. I couldn't bear down to get the work done, to do the homework, until it was the absolute last moment. And when I think back to even into my professional career, I spent 20 years in information technology, and where I absolutely shined in that, whenever there was an emergency, whenever there was a system down, whenever there was a problem, some kind of fire, right? I could hyper-focus on that for days, literally days, till it's fixed and up and running. But the things like planning a deployment, doing a budget, doing the things that maintaining an inventory, things that are sort of like that, it was almost like it was beyond my ability to comprehend and to focus in on. And that was one of the reasons why I had such challenges as in my professional career too, right? Again, I was the guy they wanted to call whenever the house was on fire, because I would get it done without a problem. Any other time though, it was real difficult for me to get something done until that deadline came up, right? As soon as that deadline came up, then I'm up till midnight doing the work. But trying to work ahead in today's business culture like that, that doesn't work. So that's another case where had I had gotten this diagnosis at an earlier age, chances are my life would be significantly different today.
Yeah, so much truth to what you're saying. And it goes to that time blindness or time management executive skill, because like you said, time kind of stands still when you're in the middle of a crisis. Like, everybody else is like probably freaking out, but to you, again, time is fluid and it doesn't mean anything. So it's just like another day in your life, and you're talking about stuff is going down and you're ready to jump in and make it work, and you can hyper focus because, yes, you're chasing the dopamine, but it's also challenging, and it also gives you meaning and it gives you a purpose. And the mundane tasks, like, they're dual and repetitive. And that's why your brain is like, no, that's not fun. That, why would I go do that? Why would I put all this stuff in a spreadsheet or whatever? And of course, that time, like, oh, it's not due tomorrow. Oh, I have plenty of time. It's due for a month from now. In our brain, it's like, oh, it's a year. We have. And then, of course, we're up on a deadline. That's when the adrenaline again kicks in. And then you're able to do what you need to, and you tell yourself you're not going to do that again, because like last time you burned yourself out, but then like the brain forgets that that happened, right? But again, you probably did amazing work because you were not overthinking it, because you didn't have time to overthink it. And so again, if you know that this is how you work, and instead of shaming ourselves for leaving everything to the last minute, like you said, if we had been given tools, hey, use a timer just to start stuff, to decrease the time initiation, or to work on task switching or task completion, then you now have different awareness and different tools, instead of just sitting there in shame and feeling like I'm not doing X, Y, Z. And then you also learn like, what tasks can I delegate? Because maybe I'm not the sprint entering person. Let me edit the last draft, or let me do whatever I need to in like on the fly TV station or on the fly story. You then get to decide what your zone is so that you can capitalize on that, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that was one of the biggest challenges that I had before the diagnosis, was trying to find mechanisms. I became sort of a productivity junkie. I assumed that the problem was always me, right? That I was just being lazy, or I didn't have the right systems in place to be effective. And so I became one of these productivity junkies and just absorbed so much productivity content, how to be more productive all the time. And so I developed systems and mechanisms and things that forced me to be productive, even though it was like pushing sand up a hill, right? Because you're trying to get the stuff done. And so we built these tools. But I tell you what, since I have gotten the diagnosis, and since I've started to receive treatment through counseling and through pharmaceuticals, it's like the wind is at my back now, as opposed to in my face. And it's been a remarkable journey.
Yeah. And that's so important that you share that it's not one thing or the other, but it's a combination of everything. You said the therapist, the medicine, talking to the psychiatrist. And I know, I'm not sure where you are in your journey, but I know when I started my journey, I didn't really want to share this diagnosis with anybody, because there was a big like shame component to it, or stigma component to it, which of course, I'm not sure why that is. And I'm working towards decreasing that, because I mean, I never like see anybody with diabetes or high blood pressure or right, like heart disease or cancer all of a sudden be ashamed and embarrassed to share what the diagnoses are. And with all of those things, it's not like they just tell them, oh, you have this, good luck. There's always some type of resources. Like if they have diabetes, we're talking about, okay, this is the diet. It's not like they put them on the pill and they're like, okay, good luck. And the thing with ADHD, it seems like we're just, like you said, getting to the point of trying to understand what coaching can do, what therapy can do, what exercise can do, and how they're all interconnected, and how sometimes, again, not having the right tools can totally undermine our ability, because our self-belief of I've been labeled lazy, I've been labeled this or that, right? And so, yeah, if anybody has that diagnosis of ADHD, I think we're the opposite of lazy. Like we will have tried 10 times to get that to work and it just did not work. And we're exhausted from trying 10 times, but you don't know that. All you see the lack of results, and you just label whatever, but you don't know how exhausted we are from trying 10 times. Of course, if we wanted to try 10 times, if it was something we were aiming towards, because of course you can still not, we won't do something that we just don't feel like we have a purpose or called upon to do. So what are some tools? And you told me about your productivity techniques mm-hmm. and different things, but what are something that you still do to this day that you find like it's helpful for you and that it gives you excitement to implement it to help you with your ADHD?
Yes, great question. So for me, I make lists of lists. That's what I did prior to the diagnosis, and it's something that I continue to do today. And one of the things that I had done prior to the diagnosis and that I continue to do today as well is I don't really prioritize my lists. I know that I ought to. One of the challenges for me with prioritizing the lists is that if I prioritize the list, then I only do the important things and I never get around to doing the less important things. And those less important things become important things if they're ignored long enough. So I go through my list and I will mark through these things have to be done today. And that's about as much as I do for prioritization. These things have to be done. And then for me, deciding which task has always been a challenge. If I have a list of 50 tasks to do, if I look at this one, I'm like, oh, I should do that one. No, but this, I should do this one. Oh no, I got to do that one too. No, I stop my brain from playing that game, like the executive decision-making problem. And I randomly pick a number. I go to Google, I go to random number generator, and I pick a random number. And whatever number that comes up with, that is the task that I do up to a certain point in the day. And then after that point in the day, then I switch over to only the things that are due the next day. And I put those actually at the back of my day. This way, I know that I've accomplished things that aren't critically important. But again, like I said, I know how my brain works. And if I get all my stuff that has to get done today, I'll look at the rest of it and I'm like, meh, the heck with it. I'll do it some other time. And so I have to sort of trick myself into doing that stuff today so that I don't pay the price tomorrow.
Yeah. And again, that's so interesting, the perspective that you are bringing up, because most of us have been given the advice, the opposite, like you just said, have been given the advice, okay, well, make your list, from your list, pick the 1 to 2 things that are important, work on the 1 to 2 things that are important, and then tackle the rest because you have gotten, quote unquote, your win, right? But again, this speaks to the fact that because you understand how your brain works, because I've accomplished X, Y, Z, the rest of the day I'm having it all, then that does not work for you. Although maybe it works for some other people, that doesn't work for you. But then you're a genius in the way that you are doing something sometimes random. So you're gamifying it, right? Yes. Like you're still going to do it because you put it on your list. You decided you wanted to do it. So if you're going to do it, how can I decrease the initiation step, make it a game? And then when you have pre-decided ahead of time, okay, at this time, and this moment in time forward, I'm task switching on purpose. And now I'm going to get to the things that I know need to get done, because you're using that deadline, that short deadline, in order to, quote unquote, motivate you enough to get it done. Because otherwise, if you don't get it done, then we pay the ADHD tags, either late fees or you name it, right? We miss a deadline. And so that's genius in the sense that you got extra stuff done, making it a game, plus now you're making sure you're using some sort of deadline that it is really due tomorrow. Otherwise, your brain's going to be like, oh, we have plenty of time, and it'll get done when it gets done. So that's so good. And again, awareness is key, because for some person, that advice, for other person, it will. But you won't know until you try something and you become aware of what is working. And that's what I think most of us don't slow down enough to realize what is working, and let me do it my way. Because if the end result is what we're going, who cares what the means is to get me to the end result? And most of us are always so focused on the middle of like, how am I going to do it? Instead of like actually getting a 31st draft just done and then going around and having somebody else help you modify it or doing something. So that's a great insight. Is there anything else that you feel has been helping you that you didn't even realize, like that you might be doing different from somebody else? When you keep your list, do you keep that on your phone? Do you type it up on Google? Do you have one of those bullet journals that some people use, or how do you do your stuff?
So I've tried all of those things. I've tried the bullet journal. I've tried just making a list. For me, what I've discovered is that each environment that I'm in, my work method has to sort of like change to match that. When I was at one particular office, I might have used a program called Thinking Rock, which is based off of the getting things done productivity method. If I was over here, I might have used whatever system that they had as a task manager. Now that I'm working for myself independently, I am absolutely in love with Todoist. Todoist is a simple, easy to use to-do list. It uses real English to assign dates. So if I tell it, call Diana on Thursday, it knows that Thursday is going to be the next Thursday in the calendar and it assigns that as the date. So it makes it real simple to add tasks to that. Additionally, going back to what you were saying about the gamification, it tracks how many tasks I've done that day. It gives me a little awards for hitting particular goals that I've set up either by the week or by the day, and even tracks my productivity over longer periods of time. So I can see what my trends look like. I can see where I'm at a high energy level versus a low energy level. And then I can adjust my schedule to meet that. So Todoist, I'm a big fan of that program. I feel it's free for most people. I pay for a pro license because I use some of the integrations. I would highly recommend that to check out to see if it works for you.
Yeah, that's so important to try something and then see if you can integrate it into other things. But you also hit something so important, which is the energy level, which again, we don't give ourselves enough awareness or credit that sometimes we show up at 120% and other days we're like at 20. And we, instead of meeting ourselves and adjusting the schedule to, yes, what is still critical, but what can I delay or what tasks require less energy, exhaustion, so to say. Mm-hmm. If you're not aware of that and you try to do something that really requires you to be at 80%, like you're going to bomb that and then you're not going to do nothing, or you're going to do it and it's just going to take you 4 or 5 times longer than it would have had you appropriately did a task on your thing. And of course, I know that if we wait for motivation, we're never going to find it sometimes, sure. But especially if they're boring tasks, right? But I think it's so good that you have a system, like you said, that shows you consistently the things that you've done. It checks you off. It gives you some feedback, some credit, some points. Again, it's a game, right? Like, why do we get on the computer sometimes to see like the games or the clicks or the whatever, right? So it's so important to try something and keep modifying, but check your energy level. And if you're at an energy level where it's just not matching up to what you need to be doing, can you take a break? Can you go for a walk? Can you listen to a different song to maybe like up the energy level? Or what can you do? Some breath work or different things that, again, they didn't teach that would increase our dopamine. No. But yeah. Now I think as we get curious about our diagnosis, you learn that there's different ways to do this. And like one of the tricks that I've been playing around with a lot lately is like visualization. I don't know if you tried this or not, but like your brain doesn't know if you have accomplished or not accomplished a task yet, right? So if in my mind, I sit there like even just 30 seconds before I complete the task and I tell myself I'm going to feel so proud or so relieved or so like at ease after completing this task, the brain doesn't know I haven't completed it, but I'm imagining myself at the end already completed. And it's just so much easier to jump into it because my brain is already releasing oxytocin instead of the adrenaline from like trying to ignore the task. And it just takes a couple of seconds to visualize like where you're going. And again, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But again, just like when we're planning vacations, the brain doesn't know we haven't gone on vacation yet, but yet we're still feeling that high of the possibility of it. So why not do that with different things that we're going to do and hope the best will come out of it, right?
I totally agree. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me, if our listeners just started listening, what would be one thing that you would want them to take away from today's discussion?
Well, I would say first and foremost, it's not your fault. That I think is probably number one. Don't beat yourself up for it, right? We have, as a society, sort of internalized capitalism and internalized productivity to the point where we feel a lot of guilt and shame for not being super productive all the time. And it's not a normal way to live. ADHD is very much a spectrum, and everybody has at different levels. And your ADHD can actually be somewhat of a superpower. As I said before, my ability to hyper focus on emergencies has paid me dividends over the years. Figure out what it is that your brain likes to hyper focus on and try to focus in on doing that kind of work. And that will take you far, I think. And additionally, like I said, talk with a medical provider, talk with a therapist. Well, therapists, I don't think can necessarily diagnose. It depends on the therapist, but talk with somebody and see if you are suffering from some of the things of ADHD. That diagnosis, just receiving the diagnosis, even without any treatment, can go a long way in making a lot of those questions about your past come to an answer.
Yes, thank you. Well, you're correct. While a therapist can't necessarily give you medication, they are crucial in trying to, like you said, process everything that you have gone through and realizing that you were doing the best with the resources you had at hand. And nobody can fault you for that. If you didn't know you couldn't see and nobody provided you with glasses, like, how can you turn around and say, well, why didn't you ask for the glasses? And you're like, well, I didn't know there was a tool there to help me to see better. Otherwise, of course, I would have asked for the glasses. And so it's sometimes hard for us to see that we are working really hard. So sometimes it's okay to just lean in to the people that are around you and ask them, hey, do you see something different? Or do you think there might be something? And then just go ask, who knows? Like, it's better that just like you go get preventative visits, like just go get checked out and see if there's anything else. There's screening questionnaires you can do. And from there, you can figure out if you might have anxiety, depression, autism, ADHD, who knows, right? And again, just because you now know, you then decide if you want something or not with it, but awareness is key. And from there, you get educated and you can do something with that information. So where can people find you if they want to know about your key speaking things, or if they want you to run a workshop, or if they want you to edit their podcast, or where can they find you?
So thank you. We are online at www.csolgroup.com. And that's Clausen Solutions Group. My name's Craig Clausen. I founded the company in 2019, right before the pandemic. We can do everything for your podcasts every step of the way, except for talking to the microphone for you. We can do everything else for you if you want. And then you can find us, like I said, on the web at csolgroup.com. or on LinkedIn and Facebook at the same place. We're not on Twitter anymore, but we are on the Facebook and LinkedIn. And you can also reach out to me any point at CCLAWSON@CSOLGROUP.com. And even if you have questions about like my ADHD journey, I'm more than happy to answer anything that came up along the ways, or if you want to talk about IT or podcasts or whatever, I'm here for you.
Awesome. Thank you. And the last questions I ask my guests is, what are you hoping to do for fun in the next 3 years?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. We have actually just booked a trip to Scotland and Ireland, and we're going in August. My oldest kid graduated high school this year, and they did not get an opportunity to go on the senior trip because of COVID. COVID sort of canceled that. So this is going to be their graduation present. And the whole family is looking forward to spending some time in Scotland and in Ireland.
That's amazing. I just got back from there. We went to London and we took a cruise, Norwegian. It was a 10-day, and it went to Scotland and Ireland, and it was divine. Of course, I just got a glimpse of it because they drop you off at 7 a.m. and they ask you to get on the boat at 6 p.m. But it was just great. And I'm so excited that your family is going to go and have this adventure. It definitely opens your eyes to different ways of life and to see all those incredible buildings and some traditions that are still being done to this day. It's breathtaking because it reminds us how we're all interconnected. And again, chasing our fun keeps us alive and keeps our dopamine going. And so thank you so much for spending your time with us here today and for sharing your story with us. I hope that you guys learned something today. More importantly, that you realize that your to-do list can be made fun and your to-do list can help us from paying that ADHD tax if we just rearrange the order that makes sense for us, right? So thank you again, Craig, for being with us today.
Thank you, doctor. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.